the book of Ruth, and I started to think about some of their family. And you'll see a lot of it as we go through this over the next couple of weeks. But you've got a, you know, like we talked about last week, we had this seemingly godly family from Bethlehem. A famine came, they moved to Moab, basically almost a forbidden place because they were hungry. Don't blame them for doing that. But they stayed there for 10 years. And the two sons ended up marrying Moabite women, which was forbidden. They were idolaters. And then we're going to see in our story today that Ruth meets a man who's the son of a prostitute. And she is, you know, has been an idolater herself. And then from this line is going to come King David from this marriage. And so it's just it's a weird story. And we know some of the things that happened in David's life. And miracle of miracles is that Jesus Christ comes through this line. And you don't think God can use you. You know what I'm saying? You don't think God has a plan for your life because you messed up or because this happened or whatever? God can use you. The deal is, God's plan for our life is a secret. I believe that. Now, some of you might argue with me, oh, no, I can know God's plan. Well, good. I want you to write it out today, what it is. Tell me everything you're going to do. I'll keep it, and let's meet back in 20 years and see if you had it all down hunky-dory. If you had told me 5 years ago that I would be at Fellowship Church right here, I've been in Englewood since 1983. Came here in 81 to court my wife, married in 83. Served for 17 years on the staff over Calvary Baptist with her dad for years and loved it. If you'd have told me 5 years ago when I was there and seemingly happy, if you'd have told me, Pastor Clark, you're going to be at Fellowship Church. Fellowship, what? Where'd the Baptist go? You know what I'm saying? I would have never said that. You're crazy. No, would have fought right there. If you'd have told me, Clark, you're going to be preaching to high school. People are crazy. I'll never do that. It's crazy. Why would I do that for? You see what I mean? God's plan. God's plan. If you'd have told me, Clark, you're going to be preaching without a tie. Man. I'm glad that was in the sovereignty of God. Amen. Hallelujah. This is work, by the way. We sweat like a pig up here from setting up to preaching and doing all the different things that we do. I just don't think I could function as soon as you, honestly. I just don't think I could do it. But God has a plan. If you'd have told me because of some of the pain and some of the hurt that we went through, that we would be happy, and quite frankly, that I would still even be going to church. You know what I mean? Honestly. And that my wife would smile again. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, God has a plan, but it is a secret. I believe God's plan is a secret. And that's not something I really ever thought about until this week. I started thinking about it. God doesn't reveal. What if God did reveal everything that He was going to do in your life ahead of time? We couldn't have it, could we? So, how many have had some serious hurt in your life? Can I see your hand? Come on. Serious pain. If you knew ahead of time all the hurt you were going to go through, you'd have probably just pulled a plug and forgot about it, wouldn't you? But His grace is sufficient. When we're weak, He takes us through those moments, doesn't He? And we can't see it. We can't understand it. But He has a secret plan. So let's go to the message now this morning. I talked way too much and said too much. Probably got myself in trouble. But anyway, let's go with the secret plan of God this morning in our message. We're studying again the book of Ruth. Let's look at it, Roger. We're going to put it into warp speed. We put a lot of scripture. We have a lot of stuff. And I know some preachers preach 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I don't. I usually go about 40 minutes. I know that, 35 minutes. But we fly. And we work hard. And we try to keep it interesting. I don't know if that's going to happen today or not. But we're going to do our best. We just hope it's not like the Da Vinci Code that's 2.5 hours long and bores people stiff. Okay? All right. At least that's what I've heard. Tell all your friends that, okay? Here we go. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Smoke on that a while. That's some serious stuff. Just in case we think we got it all figured out. We don't. Look at this verse. And Salmon... or Salmon, for some of you. Salmon, if you're from North Carolina. And Salmon begat Boaz of Rahab. And Boaz begat Obed of Ruth. And Obed begat Jesse, and Jesse begat who? David the king. And David the king begat Solomon, of her that had been the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Secret plan. And God uses us in spite of ourselves so many times, doesn't he? Amen? Let's look at the message today. Last week we saw 3 dead husbands and 2 dead sons. We also witnessed 2 of the 3 widows roughing it 60 miles through the desert, then returning back to the old little town of Bethlehem. And here's what she said. Naomi said when she got to town, they said, "Isn't this Naomi?" She said, "Don't call me that. Don't call me sweet and pleasant." That's what the name Naomi means. "But call me Mara. Call me bitter." Well, she lost her husband and her 2 sons. And she let the cat out of the bag. She didn't try to hide it. We said that's really the secret. That is really one of the main secrets to enduring difficulty, is don't hide your secret. Share your secret. If you've been hurt, share it. And some of you might not agree with me on that. I really don't care. You care less. I think it's true. I think you ought to share these things. Not to gossip. "Oh, so-and-so, it's so bad. It is this bad." I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about why your heart breaks. Why you're hurting. And you know, and I believe in the secret plan of God. He has somebody you can share that with. And I think you ought to. Naomi didn't hide it. She didn't come down and go, "Yes, I'm so happy." She went, call me bitter. "I've been devastated. The Lord has witnessed and testified against me. His hand's been against me." Can anything good come out of a story like that? Let's look at it. Let's go. Today's message: can God use a despised foreign woman named Ruth and the son of a prostitute, Boaz? His mama was Rahab the harlot. You know the story, many of you, how that she was instrumental in delivering Jericho into the hands of the Israelites, into the hands of the spies. So let's check it out today. Let's go to the scripture. The secret plan of God. We're in Ruth chapter 2, a great little 4 chapter book in the Bible. Verse 1, chapter 2. Naomi had a kinsman of her husband. Her husband was Elimelech, a mighty man of wealth. He was of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz. Can you help me this morning? His name was what? Boaz. One more time. His name was Boaz. So we meet Boaz. So here Naomi and Ruth come back from Moab. They're in Bethlehem. People say, "Hi." And then boom, they about to starve to death. How's a widow woman and a 2 widow women, an old one and a young one, make it? And one's a foreigner. One's from Moab. It's not the first person you'd want to help, probably. So they're about to starve to death. What's going to happen? Well, we see this introduction of Boaz. He was related to Naomi's husband, Elimelech. His line traces back to the house of Judah. We actually just saw that in Matthew chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. He was a man of great wealth. So if you're going to meet somebody, this is probably a good guy to meet. But remember, do you think Naomi and Ruth had this all planned when they were leaving? I think Naomi's plan was for Ruth and Orpah to stay in Moab. Wasn't that the plan? And my personal opinion is that Naomi never intended to go back to Bethlehem. That's just my opinion. I think she had planned on walking in that desert, just walking off a cliff. She's full of bitterness. She's hurting. But wait a minute. The plan's changing. Let's see what happens. Verse 2. And Ruth the Moabite said unto Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I find grace." And she said unto her, "Go, my daughter, let me go out and glean, and if I find grace in the sight of somebody and they'll give us some food, that's what I want to do." And she went, she came, and she gleaned in the field after the reapers, and her hap was to light on a part of the field, or it happened that she lit upon a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was the kindred of Elimelech. It just so happened. You ever had things like that happen in your life? It just so happened. And you knew it didn't just so happen. Amen? Amen? There was somebody at work. God Almighty was working on your behalf. We see that in the story. What's this gleaning in the field stuff? What was she doing? What's the deal? I want to just introduce a little bit of what this is about. Put up. It was God's mercy to the poor and to the widows and to foreigners in the land of Israel. This was part of God's mercy. It was also God's law. This was the law of the land. If you were poor, if you were a widow, if you were a foreigner, you were able to glean in the field. What did that mean? means you didn't starve to death. It was a plan to help those that were less fortunate. That's a good thing. That's a godly thing. That's the right thing to do. Leviticus 19, here's the law. When you reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field. So when you got to leave the corners, okay? Neither shalt thou gather the gleanings of thy harvest. And thou shalt not glean thy vineyard, neither shalt thou gather every grape of thy vineyard. Say it with me. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and I'm the Lord your God. This was God's plan. This is how God took care of people. That's why Ruth is going to do what she's doing. Ruth hit a triple, man. She was Barry Bonds. You know what I mean? Look, she was poor, she was a widow, and she was a foreigner. I mean, if anybody qualified for food stamps, this woman did. You hear me? I'm telling you, she qualified. She needed help. And this is what she's doing. She just happened to be gleaning from Boaz's field. Now listen, Ruth didn't have the plan. God had the plan. Ruth was just trying to survive. She's just trying to go eat, man. And she just happened to make it all the way from Moab back to a little town of Bethlehem and to be in this one field. You know what I'm saying? You know, this was not just a coincidence. We're going to see that this was all part of the mighty plan of God. What's really tough to reckon with is that there were three dead husbands and two dead sons that made this plan come together. I don't understand all that. Okay? I don't understand all that. God understands all that. That's a lot of pain. There's 60 miles to the desert. That's a lot of hurt. That's a lot of mess. Okay? But God's plan is at work. He's at work in your life. I hope that you'll keep remembering as we go through the story today. Verse 4. And behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem, and he said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless you. Then said Boaz unto his servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Know what I'm saying? Fellas, how many of you saw your wife like that? Let's just name it the wife, okay? None of the women. Here we go. You saw your wife like that. You went, who's that? Who's that? Wow. Who's that sweet thing? You know what I'm saying? And the servant that was set over the reapers answered and said, it's the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. So it didn't hide the fact. It's a Moabite woman. And she said, I pray you. And she said, I pray you. You see that? And she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came. She's continued even from the morning until now. And she's tarried a little in the house. All right? What can we learn? First of all, he says, who's this chick? That's a good thing. That's all right. Who's this chick? You know? Who's this? It's all right. My wife is always, when we talk to folks and we do little stuff every once in a while, she's always said, and I agree wholeheartedly. You know, husband, you need to be attracted to your wife, and wife, you need to be attracted to your husband. Okay? Now, everybody else can think they're ugly. That's fine. Who cares? All right? But you need to be attracted to the person that you are going to marry. All right? And so you sort of feel this thing. He's attracted to her, right? Who's this? Who's this? All right? Who is this chick? Let's keep moving. Ruth said, please let me glean. Please let me glean. Now, she didn't say that to Boaz. She said that to his servants. She said, please let me glean. We're going to try to learn some secrets today. Secrets to God's plan for our life. And I just saw them, and you might find a whole lot more than I found, but I got several of them for us today. Let's look at it. She didn't claim her rights, even though it was the law. Was it the law that she could go there and grab that food in the corner? Yes or no? Was it the law? Yes. Technically, she didn't have to say please. Why? Because she was poor, she was a widow, and she was a foreigner. And that stuff was just laying there. Now, wasn't a ton, and there were a lot of other poor people too, by the way. She could get some. But she didn't claim her rights. That's mine, that's mine. You're supposed to give it to me. You don't hear that kind of talk out of her mouth. So here's secret number one. If you're going to be able to be right with the Lord and to have His plan working in your life. Number one, right here. Learn to say please and thank you. Can you say that with me? Learn to say please and thank you. God won't bless an ingrate. It might look like God's blessing somebody if they're an ingrate. Well, you just Man, if you could just stay there the whole life and you wait till the whole story's over, I guarantee you, they might have had stuff, but they didn't have the blessing of God. God blesses, please, and God blesses, thank you. Number two, let's look at another quick secret. Number two, don't claim your rights with God. Don't claim your rights with God, but rather, humbly come to Him by grace. Don't claim your rights. I'm talking about if you want God's best in your life, if you want to have God work out that wonderful plan He has for your life, you don't come to Him saying, well, you do this and you do that, and why does God have always picking on me? Why does God do this? As if you created everything. Listen, who are we? We're puny little men. He's holy God of heaven. Amen?
Amen.
And what, how can God do this? God do that? What God? Listen, you better hush that mess. Now you can keep that up and have your plan. Have your plan. But He's not going to have His plan exercised in your life if you're not a person of gratitude. Please thank you. And also, if you go claiming your rights all the time. Here's our position before God. I've done it before. I'm getting old though. I'm going to get dirty. Here's our position before God. Amen? Humble on the floor. Ouch. See, I couldn't do that if I wore a suit. Amen? Let's keep going with the story. We're finding some secrets along the way. Back to our story. Here we go. Verse 8. Are y'all with me so far?
Amen.
Okay, good. Here we go. Survivor. Then said Boaz unto Ruth. So now he's there and he's meeting her. Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field. Don't you be looking for some other field.
Mm-mm.
All right. Neither go from here, but abide here fast by my maidens. You stay here with the maidens, with the servants. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap. And go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men, or I have charged the young men, that they shall not touch you? And when you're athirst, go unto the vessels and drink of which the young men have drawn for you. It's a pretty good plan coming together, isn't it, Sarah? I mean, she was in Moab not long ago, might starve to death. Just walk 60 miles, come to a place where she's supposed to be hated. Look at that. But Ruth was vulnerable. Pop up a few points. She was vulnerable. She was a young Gentile woman, a Moabite girl. That was basically all alone other than Naomi in a very dangerous situation. We know from reality that where there's poverty, where people are struggling to survive, there's also crime. There's violence. So she is in that kind of zone. And she's also a foreigner. Somebody that know anybody, got nobody watching her back. Vulnerable, isn't she? God has a plan for her life. You might say, you don't know what I've gone through. Listen, and you're feeling vulnerable. I understand. God has a plan for your life. Amen? He has a plan for your life. He has a reason for you to live, man. Let's keep looking. Boaz helped her. He helped her not to fear. Okay, next. He made special provision for her. He was taking care of her. Wonder how this was making her feel. Say, wow, man, I don't have to be scared. He's taking care of me. He's warned the men, young men not to touch me. Look at the next one. He protected her from anyone who would harm her. He was protecting her. Look at those three things and just leave them right there. Fellows, husbands, look at this on the screen. That's what you're supposed to do for your wife. Okay? Your wife should not fear you. Your wife should not fear you. If you raise your hand to your wife, you're a coward. You're a bum. Okay? And I've got several men in this congregation that's with me today that'll stand right with me in your face and say that. Your wife shouldn't fear. Fella, if that's the way you're running things by intimidation, making your wife scared and coward like my poor mama used to have to do, if you're abusing your wife, it's going on radio too. You're scum. Okay? It's horrible. This is how we're supposed to treat our wife. They're not to fear. What's the Bible say? Husband said with me, you know it. Love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. That's how we're to love our wives. Arms wide open, sacrificially. Love your wife like that. Look at this. Make provision for her. It is your job, sir, to provide for that family. If a man provide not for his family, He's worse than an infidel. He's denied the faith. I'm not talking about if you have a physical illness or something. I'm just talking about if you're lazy. If you're lazy, you're not fulfilling the role that God has for you as a husband. Amen? Second.
Amen.
Hello? That might be old-fashioned. That's Bible. Provide. And watch this. Protect. Protect her. Protect your children. That's the role of a husband. Boy, Boaz was getting some practice for him. Second. You know? And you know what? If you're seeing somebody, if you are involved with somebody, if you're, you know, thinking about serious thoughts about somebody, and those three things, young lady, does not come up in your mind, that person, that young man does not do that, you need to check somewhere else. Amen? That's a little secret. That won't end the message, but that's still a secret. Okay, that's good stuff right there. Boaz! He said, stay in the field. Can you say that with me? Stay in the field. We're on number, what is this? Secret number three. Here it is. Here's secret number three. For God's plan. Secret plan. Here it is. Stay in the field. Stay in the field. What do I mean? Look to God for your provision and protection and know the grass ain't greener on the other side. Stay in the field. But I mean more than that. Keep popping up. What do we mean? Don't wander in religious fields. Stay with Jesus.
Amen.
Well, I'm going to try this religion. I'm going to try. Why in the world don't you just believe the Bible? Trust Jesus Christ. Best thing you could ever do for the secret plan of God to be revealed in your life is to say, Jesus, I believe in you. I'm going to trust you with my whole life. If your word says it, I believe it. I settle it. If Jesus, if you're going down, if the Bible goes down, I'm on a ship with you. We all going down. But instead of this Mickey Mouse mess where you don't put your whole faith in Jesus Christ and in His Word, stay in the field. God will bless you if you do that. You might not understand it, but He'll bless you. I'm so glad. I've made all kinds of crazy errors in my life, mistakes and sin. But I'm glad I stayed in the field. Man, God's been good to me. He has blessed me. How many can say that today? Aren't you glad you stayed in the field? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Boy, God will work in your heart. Don't be wondering. Well, I believe I'll try Eastern mysticism. You are crazy. I think I'll be a Hindu. Worship 30,000 monkey gods or something. You are nuts. I'll worship a tree. What is wrong with you? I'm serious. Stay in the field. Stay there, man. Let's keep looking. Back to our story. Well, no, we're not back to the story. Galatians. I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Stay with Jesus. Oh, foolish Galatians, who bewitched you that you should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently sent forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by works of the law, by hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, that you're now made perfect by the flesh? Remember, it's all grace. Don't get away from that. Don't get away from God's love, the cross, what He did for you. Because we can get so full of ourselves. We can think we can do it now. Don't wander in the field, out of the field. Stay in the field. Look, it would have been stupid for Ruth to glean in any other field. You agree with that? Yes or no? Here's a man. He said, oh, by the way, stay with me. Nobody's going to touch you. There's all kinds of water. Boom, 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 boom. I'm going to protect you. Oh, no. I want to go to that field over there where there's just a few pieces of corn laying. I want to nearly starve to death. That would be stupid. It's stupid for you and I to glean in any other field than the gracious field of Jesus Christ. We're just nuts, man. Any moving away from Jesus is of the devil. It's not wise. It's going to cost us the secret plan of God. Let's keep moving. Woo! Back to the story. 2:10. Then she fell on her face. She fell on her face. She bowed herself to the ground. She said unto him, why have I found grace in your eyes that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? She fell down before his feet. She says, why are you so good to me? Why are you so good to me? Wouldn't that be a good question to say? Would y'all not be thinking that? Say, good grief, I just came here to survive and boom, I'm getting a house and a car. Yeah, that's crazy. You know what I mean? She said, I'm a Moabitess. My people's name means incest. That's why because Lot's daughter got him drunk and had a child with him. That's where the Moabites came from, and also the Ammonites, same way from her sister. And the Israelites hated that. She also said, "My people are the enemy of Israel. How is it that you show me such grace?" Do you feel like that when you come to God sometimes? How could God love me? How could God love me in the mess I've done? Mistakes, outright blatant things we've done, and He loves us. Hallelujah. Man, are you amazed at how good God has been to you? Yes or no? Second.
Yes.
You amazed? Or you think God owes you something? If you think God owes you something, that goes back to number two. Mm-mm. That ain't gonna fly. Here's secret number four. God is way too good to me. Can you say that? God is way too good to me. Let's practice one more time. God is way too good to me. I tell you what, that's the way God works in your life. With that kind of attitude, God is way too good to me. You know what I deserve? Hell. I certainly don't deserve what I have. Beautiful, wonderful wife. Two wonderful kids. I got a great dog. Listen, I got not just one good cat. I got two. Okay? You know, I drive a Nissan Titan. Come on. You know what I'm saying? What am I saying? Aren't we all that way? Honestly, in this building, as a God blessed to say, look at us in Inglewood, Florida. Blessed of God. God's way too good to us. Remember that. 11-13. Boaz answered and said unto her, "It has been fully showed me all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left your father and thy mother. You left the land of your nativity. You're come unto a people which thou knewest not heretofore. You didn't even know us. The Lord recompense thy work." Boaz talking to Ruth. "And a full reward be given of thee, of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust." Then she said, "Let me find favor in thy sight, my Lord, for thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken friendly unto thy handmaid, though I be not like unto one of thy handmaidens." What do we see? Boaz knew some things about Ruth. This is important. Look at it. He knew of her loss. He had heard about it. He knew of her love and commitment to Naomi. He also knew of her desire to come to Israel. That was quite a story. To not find a husband back there, but to come all the way over here because you loved your mother-in-law and wanted to go where she went and follow her God, be buried where she's buried. Here's secret number five. God has somebody watching. God has somebody watching. Now, I don't mean to put that on the screen to make you think, oh, you've got to be careful about everything you do because God has people watching you. That is true, but you can't live your life like that. Here's what I mean. Listen to me. It's important. God has a secret plan for your life. And I personally, firmly believe that there are people or a person who is watching you who you're going to minister to. You're going to make a difference in their life. You're going to make a difference in their world. They might make a difference into yours. I'm not sure. But here's the deal. Somebody's watching. God has a plan. You're not put on this planet just for you. You have a reason to live. There's something special in your life. Can't you feel it? I hope you can. God has something planned for you. Somebody's watching. Can you imagine that? God's, I didn't have a clue that you people, when Joy and I and some others started out on this journey called Fellowship Church, I didn't know that you were going to be in my life. But He had somebody watching. Amen? He had somebody watching. And it's been the most beautiful thing to meet people, to fall in love with you. I mean, to have a great already friendship and bond and encouragement. Oh, wow! Because He had somebody watching. When I started out in the gate, I didn't know anybody would come. I didn't know anything would work out. Because I tend to be negative. You know what I'm saying? There ain't no work. You know, I'd try to smile, but I'd go home and would collapse. And Joy would pick me up. You know? God had somebody watching. He has that in your life. I'm telling you. Let me ask you. Come on. How about the house today? You'll testify that that's the truth. In your life, somewhere along the way, God had somebody watching. And through ministry, you've been able to touch people's lives. And they've been able to touch you. Look at that. Wow. That's the plan of God in your life. Let's keep moving. Boom! Where'd that come from? Here's who it is, right? Look at it. The dynamic duo, my heroes. Can you believe, guys, we actually thought these two guys could whoop anybody? Look at them. They're not guys I'm going to go to battle with me. The dynamic duo, look at it. This is important. Pow! Dedication. Bang! Humility. That's what Ruth had. That's the key. For the plan of God to be exercised in your life, dedication to Him. Humility. Boy, Ruth was dedicated, wasn't she? How many can say that woman was dedicated, wasn't she? To follow her mama-in-law like that? Give me a break. You know what I'm saying? That'd be rough, baby. She did it. Yeah, and to have that humble spirit, that is the dynamic duo. Can you say that with me? That is the dynamic duo. Dedication to the Lord. Humility before the Lord. You'll be surprised at what God's going to do in your life and in your family and for your children. If you'll keep that in mind and do that, we got a fly, Raj. And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, come thou hither and eat of the bread. Dip your morsel in the vinegar. Boy, Boaz just throwing his stuff on, ain't he? She sat beside the reapers. He reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left. Pop it. She ate and was satisfied. God working in your life will satisfy you. It will. He will. If you let Him be your portion, you're going to eat and you're going to be happy and you're going to get plenty. He'll take care of you. When you live by grace instead of by rights, you'll be surprised at how content you'll be. When you live by grace instead of by rights, you'll be surprised how content you'll be in your spirit. God wants that for you. It's beautiful. I love this story. When she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and reproach her not. And let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose for her. What's he saying? Throw down some of that good stuff for that nice looking lady right there. And leave them that she may glean them and rebuke her not. Usually if you drop something, they go, don't go on, get, leave it alone. If you drop it and she picks it up, it's A-okay. All right? By rights, Ruth could glean the corners. Watch it. By grace, grain was pulled from the bundles for her. What do you want in your life? You always want to be picking up in the corners? Or do you want God to throw down some of that good stuff on the ground for you to get? Amen? That's what I want. You can live by rights and works if you want to. But if you live by grace, hallelujah, He gets all the glory. You don't get any of the credit, but you get all the blessing. It's beautiful. Beautiful story here. Secret number six. God's grace is so amazing. Can you say that? God's grace is so amazing. Wow. This is a story of grace. If you're always trying to micromanage your life and figure everything out and not give God a chance to work this secret plan that He has, you're gonna muck it all up. You've got to wholly lean on His grace, even when you don't understand. He can do great things in your life. Don't take grace for granted. 17. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. So she worked till when? Till dark. And she took it up and she went to the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned. You think mom was going to be happy, son? You usually go out and get just enough to survive day after day after day because you're poor as dirt. But she went and brought it to her mother. She gave to her that she had reserved after she was sufficed. And her mother-in-law said unto her, Where have you cleaned today? And where wast thou? Blessed be he that did take knowledge of you. And she knew she couldn't get that much grain in one day herself. Naomi knew something was up. And she showed her mother-in-law with whom she had wrought and said, the man's name with whom I wrought today is Boaz. Okay? See, we know a little bit ahead of time before what Naomi and Ruth knew in the story today. What do we see? She didn't take grace for granted. She worked. That's part of understanding God's plan in your life. Don't take grace for granted. Work your tail off for God's plan in your life. I mean, you can't just, I'm just going to wait till the Spirit hits me and then get a job. Did you see what I'm saying? Work, man. Get out there. Do what God has for you. But work with all your heart. And God will bless you. That's, she could have took it easy, couldn't she? But she didn't. Did you know she had an ephah that was 22 liters? You know what 22 liters is? Look at this. It was enough to feed her and Naomi 10 days. She didn't have to get 10 days worth, did she? She got 2 days worth. That'd be more than most people got. She got 10 days. Why? Because she worked. Oh, she believed in the grace she was thankful for, but she worked her tail off. That's an important principle. Naomi said to her, daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord, who had not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, listen to this. This man is near of kin unto us. He's one of our next kinsmen. Naomi said, you went where? You met who? Boaz? He's kin to my husband. Wow. The secret plan of God. Unbelievable. We close today, and Roger, we're going to cut it short. We got more, but we got to quit. Do need you to hear this. Very important that you listen. We're right there now. He was a kin person. The kinsman redeemer law. There was a law in the Word of God and with the culture, especially, that this is what happened. Watch it. An individual would marry a childless widow. An individual would marry a widow who did not have children. Okay? So that she would have, children would have a lineage. Next, he would preserve the dead husband's name. Whenever someone would take this widow wife, the child they would have would bear his daddy's name so that that name could keep going. Number three, it had to be a blood relative. It couldn't be, oh, you're cute, can I do that for you? No, it wasn't that. Had to be a blood relative. Also, he must have the right of authority to redeem. Not just any relative could do it. You had to have the authority. There was a line that you had to work through of authority. You can't go, I saw it first! Hey, that worked, dude. Okay, next. He must be able to pay the price. If he didn't have enough money to take care of his family, he's going to bring another mouth on to feed and all them young ones too. Huh, that's not how it worked. He must be willing to redeem. Ultimately, it came down to him. Was he willing to take that widow woman in and do that? Whether you like it or not, I'm not crazy about the plan either. However, that was the way it was. Okay? But he had to be willing. You couldn't say, well, you're it, you've got to do it. He had a choice. Now let's look. You really got to listen. The secret plan of God. Listen. Can you say that? This all took place in... Come on, now don't doubt on here. Come on. This all took place in... Shazam. Of the whole big planet, this whole story took place in Bethlehem. Now listen to me. Follow real carefully. Jesus became our blood relative in Bethlehem. That's where Jesus became our blood relative. He became our blood relative in Bethlehem. Amen? You need to remember that. Why Jesus? Why not this other religion? Is he your blood relative? Then he can't redeem you. Jesus became our blood relative. Listen, he's the only one who has the authority to redeem us. For God so loved the world, say it with me, that he gave his only begotten
Son.
So I don't guess you need to be looking for none of his brothers. You hear me? He's the only one that has the authority to redeem you. Look at this. He's the only one who's able to pay the price. He can afford you. See, he's the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. What did John say? Behold the what? Lamb of God who takes away the... See, he can afford you. Mohammed can't afford you because he had to pay for his own sins. You hear me today? Buddha can't afford you because he had to pay for his own sins. Jesus can afford you. You can't afford yourself. I work my way there. You can't afford you, man. What you talking about? You can afford hell. That's what I can afford. Got a ticket to ride, baby. That's it. Jesus can afford you. Look at this. Jesus was willing to pay the price. But God commends His love toward us, and that while we were yet what?
Sinners.
Christ died for us. Look at the mind of Christ. Look what was in His head. Look at it. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Here it is. Who being in the form of God, He thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but He made Himself of no reputation. He took upon Him the form of a servant. He was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself. He became obedient to death, even the death of the cross. That's good stuff. The secret plan of God. Well, I don't understand all this Jesus stuff. Yeah, go figure. Me neither. Alright? But it's part of the plan of God. Man, we have a great God. The secret plan of God. Let's end with the seventh secret. We're skipping some stuff, but it's okay. Secret number seven. This is important. To believe in Jesus Christ and consent to be loved by Him is the greatest of all secrets. To believe in Jesus Christ, listen to me. To believe in Jesus Christ and to consent to be loved by Him is the greatest secret of all secrets. If you'll get there, friend, not just believe in Jesus, but give Him the authority and right to love you and to love on you. And regardless what happens in your life, hell or high water, no matter how bad it gets, you go, I still want you to love on me. I know you love me. Even though I'm going through all this mess, look at me. I know you love me. And nothing can touch me that didn't come through your hand. Give Him that right. Are you hearing me today? If I'm just talking to three of you, it's okay with me today. If two or three of us get a hold of that right there, it changed your life. It changed your life. Why am I going through this? Hey, maybe that's just the way He's working a plan in your life because He loves you to pieces. He loves you to pieces. How many of us, we learn so much more from hard times than good times? Let me see your hand. We just do. Well, why? What? Because I love you. Doesn't mean He's doing it. It means He's loving you through it. It's a beautiful plan. God loves you today. The secret plan of God. Looks like things just might work out for Ruth, doesn't it? Well, we're going to continue the story next week. Thank you for listening. Let's stand together. God bless you today.